Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, learning Torah. This week is Shavuot, and Torah is at the center of Shavuot, since the holiday commemorates the receiving of the Torah. As you go through the holiday, please take a moment and consider discussing this podcast, Pardes from Jerusalem, with your friends. And let them know, too, that the podcast can be listened to either on a computer with speakers or with cell phones, iPhones, or Android phones, and that how easy it is to listen to and what you think of the podcast. Our listenership grows most rapidly when friends tell friends about it. Thank you very much. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses learning Torah. Rabbi Daniel Landes is a Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. We're right almost the top of Shavuot. We're finishing the Omer, and it's time to receive the Torah. The Torah that's given to us all the time, but we commemorate it on, and we celebrate it even more so on Shavuot. In Shavuot, we stay up all night learning. It's one great minhag that was developed by the Kabbalists in Sfat, and we take it upon ourselves. That kind of also paralleled the beginning of the coffee trade, from the New World to the Old World, and it seems to be a good idea. There's a phrase talking about learning that I think is appropriate. Very interesting phrase in the Talmud. In the Tractate of Chagiga, Daf Tet Amud Bet 9b, which Chagiga talks about the holiday sacrifice, Eino Doma Shona Pirko Mea Pamim L'Shona Pirko Mea V'Achad. You cannot compare someone who Shona, who learns, we'll use that term now, his chapter of study 100 times. You can't compare that guy, that individual, that person, to one who learns his chapter of study 101 times. Implication being that in 101 times, that's when the breakthrough takes place. I think that's the implication. The Talmud talks about this, and this is off-cited, it's repeated, and if you consider it, you see that we have a very interesting phraseology here, because the term shoneh, which means to teach, is a term that also means to repeat, and I think perhaps, or to learn. It means to learn, to repeat, to teach. And those terms, like shenatim levenecha, you shall teach it to your children, or repeat it to your children. The term shoneh refers to, is the name of the book of Devarim. Deuteronomy is called Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the Torah. Maimonides' famous book, the Halacha Zakah, the Yad, the 14 volumes, is also called Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the Torah. Maybe there's a difference. Maybe repetition alone, informed repetition, makes a difference. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, the great Lithuanian sage, the one who defined Lithuanian Jewry, said the following: the word shachach, to forget, shin is in the numerical value of shin, of shachach, the first letter is 300, shachach, the second letter is chof, it's 20, third letter chet, 8, 328, and then the word for the numerical significance of zachar, of remembering, zion is 7, and then you have Chof, which is 20, and you have Reish, which is 200. So Shachach comes to 328, and Zachar comes to 227. If you subtract one from the other, you get 101. It only comes with repetition that you can really get this notion of remembrance. Now, of course, the Gra's idea here is kind of interesting. Except I would add that it's not that you add 101 to Zachar, because if you add 101 to Zachar, you get Shachach, which is 328. So the way the Vilna Gaon says it is the difference, because he fudges that point. But it could really very well be that, of course, you need that 101 times to remember. And in those 101 times, you have to make sure that you don't have those elements that obscure the situation. There really has to be informed repetition, and so that you really get down to what needs and how it needs to be remembered. Another way of understanding it is that found in the Hasidic teachings. And let's look first at the Mei Shiloach. That's the Rebbe of Ishbitz, one of the more interesting and more creative and indeed sometimes in some places a radical thinker. Here he says the following. He focuses on one of the words. Again, the phrase in the Talmud is Eina Doma Shona Pirko Mea Pamim. You can't compare a person who has learned and has gone over his chapter of study 100 times. He doesn't compare Shona Pirko Mea Vechad to one who learns, goes over his chapter of study 101. And the Mei Shiloach says the following. And this is in my translation, Shinyan HaEchad, that the idea of one teaches that even a person who reviews 100 times is still standing at the beginning. You really haven't gotten there yet. That is the meaning of the Echad, 101. That it stands up in front of the person who's learning as and one. In other words, you don't really make that breakthrough until that moment of and one. A similar story is that of Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim, who was the great, great posek of Israel and of the Jewish world, died in 1960. As a younger man, but still of age, he reviewed with his study partner, Rabbi Tukashinsky, who was the great author on the great expert in the Jewish calendar, who wrote a very informed Luach, a Jewish calendar that still comes out through his son, Nisan. And Rabbi Tukashinsky, who wrote the very important work, Gesher Chaim, about the laws of mourning and of death. The two of them studied together the Tractate of Yevamot. Now, Yevamot is a very, very, very long tractate, and it's a hard tractate. And it deals with a case of the Levirate to marriage, a case of a man who dies not leaving an heir, and the situation of his widow and who she needs to marry to continue on the tradition of the house, marry a brother. It also deals with all sorts of permitted and forbidden relationships, a very complicated kind of relationships. It's a difficult tractate. And the two of them studied it together once, twice, 40 times. At which point Rabbi Tukashinsky records in his memoirs that I turned to Rabbi Tzvi Pesach and said to him in Yiddish, Rabbi Hirsch Pesach, Tzvi, Hirsch is the word for deer. He says, we've done this 40 times, maybe it's now time to move on to another tractate. And Rabbi Frank turns to him and says, no, he says, now we'll begin to understand it. Rabbi Tukashinsky wrote, yes, and the 41st time they really began to understand it. Something takes place. There's that moment of breaking forward when you have command of the full material of Talmud. It's like one of the situations we have today. We have bright people studying all the time. We have people that rely on all the aids of the multitude of books and all the aids of a computer generation. But in order to really command the material, to have Kinyan Torah, to really acquire it, takes a tremendous amount of review, that even one who reviews 100 times is still standing at the beginning. In this case of the Gemara Yevamot, the situation was 40. But the and one is the situation. Now, the Mea Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, continues and says something a little bit different, or is it adding to it. That is the meaning of and one. That still sums up in front of him as and one. That it's new to him. It's like the first time they're learning it. And one really understands it. You have to have two parts. You have to command the material. You have to review it and go over it and have it in your bones and get all the arguments straight in your brain and know all the facts of the situation and to know the lines and know exactly what's taking place. But then it has to be and one as if it's the first time you're looking at it. It has to be for him as new. He has to approach it, here's really the Hasidic part, not just new cognitively, but this is the Hasidic part. He must approach it with great desire and yearning and not as old things. Dvarim Yishanim, which I'm sure when he originally said it, he said in Yiddish, Alta Zachen, his old things, his old rags, the things you put away. No, this has to be the newest of new each time you come back to it. Of course, isn't that true with every relationship? As the rabbis expounded, right, it says that God tells you, Mitzavcha lahasot, hayom, this day, Hashem alkech mitzavcha lahasot, this day the Lord commands you to do, in Devarim 26:16, which means, Shiyu divrei Torah chadoshim alecha, that the words of Torah should be new to you. So this could be really our way of going, review, understanding, commanding the material, and then being able to understand it as new, and also as something tremendously understanding. But then there's another piece to that, which is implied, and that is that when one reached that position, they could also come up with very substantive and interesting new explanations. The review of the old is in order to really bring you to a position that you could say, see something from a different slant, a different intonation, another nuance, or a radically new idea. The Rebbe of Kotsk used to say, "Im is nish da kain shatshua in himmel, vai fun pshatim zager." There's no great joy in heaven. There's no greater joy in heaven. Heaven being kind of idealized as a great Beit Midrash, a great hall of study. There's no greater joy in heaven than hearing new things in Torah. Hearing something that no one heard before, a new pshat, a new way of understanding. Likutei Torah of the Admor HaZaken, of the old Admor, the old Rebbe, the beginner of the Chabad movement, talks much about, quoting the Zohar, that the name of God comes from an earlier tradition. The name of God is contained within the Torah. That the Torah itself, to say that better, the Torah itself is one long name of God. Therefore, when one reviews the Torah, one is calling out in God's name. There's a great spirituality underneath this burst of reviewing and then the burst of creativity that comes with it. And that when you call this, when you recite the Torah, you read the Torah, you learn the Torah, you're actually reciting God's name, and therefore you're calling out to God. Just as you say the name of your friend, you call out to your friend. And if you say the name of your friend in a different way, in a different connotation, with another nuance, and when it's said with intention and devotion, and the fun and the love comes out of it at the same time. So that's Shavuot. That's the study of the Torah. That, I think, is Shavuot night. Shavuot night, we learn the Torah that evening in order to be able to receive it in the morning, and we learn it because we're calling out for God's name. We review it because it's still and one. It's one more time. We're looking for that burst of creativity, that notion of now we have the material, now we're beginning to understand. In fact, here's something that no one else ever said before. They may have said it before. But here's something new. And the newness itself, of course, is simcha, is, of course, joy. We hope you enjoy your Shavuot and derive great meaning from the study of Torah, as you do at all times. Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.